John was talking about Jesus here, and two of his disciples heard him speak, followed Jesus. Two of John's disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And verse 38 then said, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, that is master and teacher, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? And he said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, and for it was about the 10th hour. Then he continued, said, one of the two which heard of Jesus speak and followed him with Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And if he first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which has been interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus beheld him and said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpreted as stone. The day following, Jesus will go forth into Galilee and find Philip, and said unto him, follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, good. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But Philip answered him and said, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believe thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. God bless the reading of his word. Amen. The topic this morning is reconciliation. That's a topic I've chosen this morning. And it's good. I read this passage because our topic for our message for Christmas and for our Christmas celebration is come and see what the Lord has done. And I'm going to be bringing us to that point where how that word is important. But the topic this morning is reconciliation. And it's a simple word, but I'm going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 18 to 20. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20. And this is what it says. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing these trespasses upon them, that had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now that we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Amen. God bless the reading of his word. This morning, like I said, we're looking at reconciliation. And to look at reconciliation, I've gone to look at the English dictionary for the meaning of reconciliation. And it says, the English dictionary says that the restoration of friendly relationship. The restoration of friendly relationship. This week has been a tough week for this country. As a nation, Brexit has been difficult. And the argument of Brexit has been in the news all over. But there's another news in this week that did not really make so much headline, but is the situation in the nation called Yemen. And is a nation that is already in a very difficult position because of internal wars. But this week, something wonderful happened. There was an opportunity for reconciliation by United Nations. And that reconciliation was just for the warring parties to stop the war and shade their sword so that there can be food for Christmas period. And that touched my heart as a Christian because it was an opportunity for there to be food for Christmas period and then to be able to bring food aid to these people. And when you see the pictures, it's really, really worrying how people have been starved and left without food. But one good thing about it is that they were able to agree to put an end to battle because they wanted to be able to bring food to these people. And one of the things that then came to my mind was that in dispute resolution, the greatest aim is to reconcile parties. But it's always, always very difficult. Because reconciliation is to restore people back to the way they were before the conflict, before the fight. But we all know that it's always difficult to return things back to the way it were before the damage. But you know one thing that gladdens me is that God was able to restore us back to the way we were before the conflict, before our damage, before sin came. There's something extremely difficult to, this is something that is extremely difficult to achieve because, number one, the two parties will always dispute, will always argue about reconciliation. The two parties will always have, I mean, even with your children or even with friends, when you're talking about one thing, you're trying to resolve one thing, then another thing comes up, and you start bringing up, oh, no, it did that to me, and as a result, you're not able to reach a compromise. And as a result, you're not able to reach any position. And that is why Jesus' reconciliation can sometimes be difficult for human to comprehend, because it's so difficult that for human to understand the fact that Jesus did not come to argue with us. He didn't come to take sides as to who is right or who is wrong. Jesus came, as he said in the word, to give us life and for us to have life abundantly. Jesus came. He did not look at what we've done before. He did not look at our sins. He took them off us and gave us a new life. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he has made him to be sin who knew no sin. What sort of reconciliation is that? He has made him who knew no sin to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. So basically, it is not the issue of trying to resolve this. He took our blame. He said, okay, let's reconcile. But don't worry. You don't need to give anything. I will give everything. So he took our sin so that he can reconcile us to himself. And in John chapter 1, verse 14, he said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So basically, in this reconciliation part, it is God that did all the job. He did everything. He left his throne in heaven. He came down into the world. He came to us. He gave everything up and became us. Interesting. God himself came down to our level. But he was not consumed by our mentality. What is our mentality? Our mentality, naturally, is that every man wants to be right. Every man wants to be right. It's just a natural instinct in man. When you meet people that have done things to you, when you say, I'm forgiven, you start recalling what you are forgiven about. Jesus did not count all those things. All he did was, you know what? You've done this, I'll take that away. You've done that, I'll take that away. You live in sin, I'll take your sin. I'll go to the cross for you. You don't need to die, I will die. And that is why Christmas celebration is wonderful. He became like us. He became like us. Why did he have to become like us? Number one, for you to reconcile, you need to be in a position that you understand what you're reconciling about. When I looked at that Yemen situation, I looked at it and I said, the major thing about Yemen was the fact that the people there are faced with hunger. And the world wants to bring food into the country. And as a result, they basically understood what hunger is. They basically understood what these people are going through. So they were willing to assist them. And it speaks to me as well. It speaks to me because in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it said, we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all point tempted like us, but yet without sin. So what Jesus did was he came into the world and became like us, but he did not allow our way of life to dictate his determination and his mission. He did not allow the sin to overwhelm him. How many times do we have that saying that says, oh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? That's what we say, isn't it? But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus was able to suppress the flesh. He lived in the flesh, but was able to suppress the flesh so that he can bring us back to God. He did all this so that he can bring us back to God. He can reconcile us back to God. He did not allow the things around him to dictate the way he was going to carry out his mission. The Bible says that he was focused on his mission. He was focused on that goal in front of him. And what was his goal? To save you and to save me. That was his goal. He was focused. He was centered on, his mind was set on that focus. And the Bible says because of that, he was given a name that is above every other name. That his name, every knee must bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. He gave everything, but he didn't take anything from us. The second part of John chapter 10, verse 10 says, I have come so that you might have life, and life in its fullness. He has come so that we might have life, and life in its fullness. And that is what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to take from us, he came to give us. He came to give us life. And that life we lost. He didn't ask us to. It's like someone who, like it was in the news as well this week, a child who was, a boy who was playing football and was dying and donated all his organ to anyone in the world that needs it. The boy did not even know who the organ is going to go to, but he was donating it to people. And when you see such things, it just speaks to me as a Christian, it speaks to me about what Jesus did. How he did not even know me from the beginning. You know, he didn't know you. But he said, he came to the world and died. Though as many as believed in him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. As many as believed in his name. So basically, he didn't know that you were going to come. He didn't know that I was going to come. But he has already made plan for me and you to bring us back into that position. That plan is already there. That plan is already there. So basically, God is reconciling us to himself without even knowing us. He has already made the plan that, look, when these ones come, I'm going to take them into myself. So when I came as David, Oluleke Ayotunde Asegbu, and I came into this world, God knew me by the time I was coming. So by the time I became 13 and I accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior, he had already made a plan for me to have a place in his kingdom. He has already prepared that plan for me. And the same way he has done with you. It is not the day you met him. You see, Jesus was telling Philip, that before I met you, when you were still under the fig tree, I knew you. So when they called Philip and said, come and see Jesus, Jesus has already seen him. He knew where he was. So when we're calling people this afternoon and saying, come and see what the Lord has done, Jesus already knew them and he's already made plan for them. Our job is to show them this Jesus. Just as Philip was shown that come and see that great man in Nazareth, the man of Galilee, is come. Come and see that man that Moses talked about. Our job is to show them this plan. Jesus already had them in his hand. He had a plan to reconcile them to himself. Our reconciliation message this Christmas is to invite people to come and see the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. That's our message this time. Our message is to tell the world that we have a Messiah. We have a King who we've met at some point in our life, who redeemed, who renewed our life, who redeemed us from the world of darkness into his marvelous light. Let us show them that Jesus is King. He's the Messiah that has been talked about. He's the Prince of Peace that the world needs. And upon him, upon his shoulder, the kingdom is already established. The catchphrase of John the Baptist that endeared the two of the disciples to Jesus was the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. And it was a very lovely catchphrase. How will a Messiah be a lamb? I'm not going to go into this in detail, but in the Jewish tradition, it was a clear evidence that the lamb is meant for sacrifice. The lamb is meant for sacrifice. So basically, John was telling the people that, look, this is the Savior and the sacrifice for your sin. So basically, you're coming into that opportunity to meet the only acceptable sacrifice. And that is the greatest reconciliation message. Saying, look, there is no other option than Jesus Christ. John Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there's no name by which man has been given to, for which man can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. And as they encountered Jesus on this invitation, they too took up that phrase, come and see. They too took up that phrase, come and see. And that speaks to me as well. It speaks to me because I keep asking myself, how many people do I tell to come and see what the Lord has done? How do I tell people to come and see what the Lord has done? I need to tell people to see what the Lord has done. But they need to see, basically, when I'm telling them, they need to see it in my life. There might be people that will tell me, oh, is there any good thing coming out of Nazareth? Is there any good thing coming out of Park Road? Is there any good thing coming out of Christianity these days? Oh, they've deceived us, they've done this. Yes, you will hear that. It is not new. But one thing is sure. Let them see the light of God in you. Let the light of God shine in you, that they will see the glory of God who has called you out of darkness into his light. Let them show for that light, the love of God, the embrace of God that was shown to you, the mercy of God that was used to call you in, the opportunity that God gave you to be part of him. And basically, that will become the work that they will see. Psalm 66, verse 5 and 6. This is what he says. He says, come and see the work of God. Come and see the work of God. He's terrible in his doing towards the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land, that they went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. This was the message that the children of Israel, after crossing the Red Sea, continued to pass from generation to generation. And they continued to say, for this God is our God. Forever he will be our God. He has taken us through the Red Sea. You've got testimony. You've got a lot of testimony to tell people about this God that brought you out of darkness into the light. But how do you tell it? How do you tell it? You've got testimony of your encounter with Jesus Christ, your daily encounter with Jesus Christ. There's something that I love so much when people pray about the gift of life and they say, how I woke up, how I slept, God has seen me through. You've got that testimony. And that is what you need to let people know. Let the light of God shine through you to the world. Christmas is not just about the food and the eating and the celebration and the decoration and everything. It's about the light of God shining forth into this dark world. And that's what God wants us to show to the world. We have seen the light. Let us call others into that light that we've seen. If you have seen the light, your job is to shine forth that light. Do not keep it. You cannot keep a candle under a bushel. You need to show forth your light. You need to carry that light everywhere you go to. You need to show forth the light. You see, what is interesting was that we talk about the light, and because Christmas is all about the light, we talk about the light. And one thing that was interesting was that those three wise men that followed the stars. The Bible says that they saw the star and they were following the stars. They were following the star to where Jesus was. You are the star that the world will follow to Jesus now. You're the one that the wise man wants to hear from. You are the star that will bring forth the glory of God to the world and say, look, this is where the Messiah is. The shepherd were told by angels, oh, that as soon as they had it, they jumped up. And what did they do? They wanted to come and see the Messiah. Let us now go. I love that song. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the things that has come to pass. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem. I don't know how to sing by it. But to show forth the glory of the God, to show forth God's glory. It's time for you to show forth that light that God has placed in you, because that is your job, reconciling man unto God. Romans 10 verse 14 says, how can they believe if they've not heard? How can they believe? Because there's a wrong notion in this in our society today. Everybody is a Christian. No. You can write on your paperwork that I'm a Christian, but do you really know Christ? Everybody that you see on the road, do they really? And recently people have been coming out and saying, I've never even heard of it before. So our job now is to tell the world about this Jesus Christ. Many people that we assume know might not even have heard of it before. So many have seen Christmas as just celebration. As just a celebration. They don't even know the meaning. All they think about is, let's put up Christmas tree, let's put up Christmas light, let's have great dinner, let's have this. But there's a need for the message of Jesus Christ to go forth. The world is waiting to hear. So many people that would think no might not even have an idea of what this is. Christmas is a great time to let the world know about this great plan of God to reconcile man unto himself. And that responsibility is in our hands. It's in your hand, it's in my hand. God has called me, and I'm sharing my testimony with you. God has called you so that you can share your testimony with the world. Our world has never needed God more than it does now. Someone was praying earlier. I was talking about Yemen this morning, but someone was praying earlier. If you watch the news this week alone is really troubling. It's troubling because you're hearing Brexit doing its own, all the EU leaders ganging up in one place. I don't know where, I mean, you're leaning or what you think, but I just believe that the EU leaders are ganging up in one place doing their own thing, and people are doing their own thing in different places. But at the same time as well, all over Europe, there's trouble. There's trouble. In France, up till now, there's trouble. This week, people went to the market, to Christmas market, And they had to meet their debt because of one people with some mind of evil. This is our time to tell the world that the Lord is the only Savior. It's our time to show forth the glory of God to the world. This is, and going by history, this is a time when people have hunger for God. But then, who will ignite this fire? You and I have been given the torch to carry. We've been given the torch to bear. And that torch needs to ignite the fire of revival. God has prepared you for a time like this. Do not let this Christmas be like every other Christmas. Your job, my job, is to tell people what Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 said. Verse 6 to 7 said about, unto us a son is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, and of his reign, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. It's our job to tell the world that now. The world wants, needs to be reconciled back to God. And that is our job. And I pray that the Lord will give us the ability to do this. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding rest and abide with us all as we celebrate Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless you.